Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, a plane carrying 72 people, an Irish passenger among them, named as Ruan Callum Crichton, it crashed into a gorge in Nepal yesterday. Those leading the search effort say they've given up hope of finding survivors after Nepal's worst air disaster in decades. It appears they also have discovered the black boxes on board, so we may get early answers to the mystery of this plane crash. But to get some analysis ourselves, we're joined now by retired Air Corps Lieutenant Colonel and Airport Safety and Security Auditor Kevin Byrne. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Sad day indeed, unfortunately. I wondered last week when we spoke we'd have the first fatal accident of 2023, and unfortunately we've had it now yesterday, I think.
Now, I presume you were not an airport auditor on this fairly new airport in Nepal, opened only recently.
Indeed, the flight was going from Kathmandu, the capital of Nepal, to Pokhara. It's a distance only of about 130 kilometres, but by going by air, you save yourself a 4 or 5 hour hazardous road trip, about 35 minutes flight, and in an aircraft that was made in Europe, believe it or not, an ATR 72-500, of which there are many hundreds flying and are still in order for them. They're still in production, indeed. And in the Irish airspace, we had Ryanair, Stobart, Air Arran, and indeed Aer Lingus still fly them. So they have a good track record, very good, reliable, efficient aircraft as such, and the accident at the moment is a mystery. We just don't know why, but unfortunately Nepal doesn't have a good track record, Pat.
Now, as I said, the airport itself, I heard earlier, you know, many of the airports that people would use to get to base camps and so on would be little more than grassy strips. This is more than that.
That's right. No, this has got the photographs I've seen. It's a long, fine runway. The other mystery about this is that there's a video going around that's about 18 seconds long, and it shows the last few seconds of the flight. But the air is as clear as it is here where I am now. It's a sky. It was a sky clear, blue skies, no cloud. I thought it might have been a wind or weather-affected flight, but it wasn't. And the aircraft was on final approach. I believe the accident happened within 2 kilometres of the runway, which meant the pilots, the crew, should have looked out and seen the runway in those circumstances. So it's quite a mystery at this stage, unfortunately.
Now, in most aircraft, there is a stall warning, and I mean, it's quite intrusive. I've seen some, you know, video from the cockpits when they're demonstrating stall warnings.
Yeah.
The pilots should have got stall warnings.
Yes, look, I mean, I'm making an assumption here, but the video picture I saw, the aircraft was established on final approach. It looks as if the flaps, and certainly the undercarriage, is down and locked, as you'd expect it to be within a short distance off the runway. So it's stabilized, but the aircraft wings rock in a pre-stalled buffer, as it's called, and there's no doubt in my mind the left wing dropped, as can happen sometimes, and it then entered what we call an incipient spin, and it spun to the left, and unfortunately it caught the edge of the gorge and then fell in pieces into the bottom of the river gorge. So it was an unfortunate circumstances. Perhaps the pilots were distracted by something. To my knowledge, they didn't indicate to air traffic services that they had an emergency, but it wouldn't be the first time where pilots have been distracted and not heard the noise. But from a very early stage of flying, whether you're flying private or commercial aircraft or military aircraft, you are taught very early, in probably hour 4 or 5, how to stall and recover from an aircraft. So you know what's going to happen, and they would have done it many, many times in reality and many, many times in the simulator, because this is a thing you get out of. You save yourself from the stall because, of course, if you're too low, you can't recover from it.
Yeah. Now, basically, what gives an aircraft its lift is the shape of the wing, and you have a pressure differential generated by the shape of the wing, literally, so you get a lift from underneath.
Yeah.
If you point your nose up slightly, you can go into a stall, and the way to recover is to point your nose back down again.
Yes, indeed. And indeed, if the power is back a little bit, as it would be on the final approach like that, you can the immediate recovery is generally nose down, power on, and you stop the wing dropping by a little bit of rudder. but you're caught at a very low flying time, you know. So I'd be surprised that, and the warning to get, every aircraft has a stall warning about maybe 8 or 9 or 10 knots, depending on the weight of the aircraft and so forth. You have no doubt in your mind that is a stall warning. Watch it. What's wrong with the speed? One of the pilots, of course, the non-flying pilot on aircraft coming into land, should be keeping close eye on the speed and, you know, listens to the aircraft commander, whoever's in charge. What do they do? Flaps down, other cars down. They check all this kind of thing and they keep monitoring the approach path. So that is the normal thing. It's the standard operation procedure in aviation. I'm not sure if that was the case in this particular circumstances. Yeah. Now, just about the airline itself, I was just looking up a few facts on it. To my horror and surprise, you know, every January, we've had this discussion before, the Americans, the FAA and the European Commission issue a listing of banned flights and banned airlines from the airspace. In the case of the EU, or the EC, I should call it, European Commission, they've banned all Nepalese flights into the EU airspace since 2019. That's a bit of a shock, and it was a bit of a surprise. So we don't let Nepalese airlines into our airspace. Now, they don't fly commercially, but I'm very surprised by that and a bit shocked, and yeah. I would have hope that the government there would do something about that. Yeah.
Obviously, there are two reasons why you would not let an aircraft from a particular airline or indeed a particular country fly in. One would be that you don't have confidence in pilot training. The other would be that you don't have confidence in the maintenance of aircraft, because as you say, aircraft of all different manufacturers might be flown, whether it might be a Cessna or an ATR, whatever it might be, would be flown in these areas. So it's got to be about maintenance concerns and pilot training concerns.
That's right. But of course, in fairness, I've been in Africa, as you know, and some of these African countries have come back off this banned list by going to ICAO, the International Civil Aviation Organization, a UN body, very efficient, or IATA, the International Air Transport Association. Either and both of those work together to make sure that the standards of safety in countries such as, you know, the developed world in Africa, and in this case, Nepal, the government can go and say, help us out here. What are we doing wrong? What can we do better? And they're taken off the list, and then they're free to fly anywhere in the world they want. And that's what could be done. I don't understand why the economy, which relies so much on tourism in Nepal, hasn't been on one or either of these routes.
Now, talk to me about that ATR aircraft. How old was this one? Is it too early to talk about a maintenance record?
No, it was the registration number was 9NANC. It's one of four of the aircraft on Yeti Airlines' fleet. It was built about 15 years ago, and there haven't been any problems so far with the maintenance, except for one thing. It was said that they should have replaced recently the transponder, which relates to your radar and air traffic control, that kind of thing. But that would have no effect, I don't think, on the final approach path to a runway when the weather is clear. It's a device that wouldn't affect the safety or the conduct of the operation, as far as I can tell. But just to get the facts, Yeti Airlines, since 2004, they also have a subsidiary called Tara Airways. The Yeti themselves had four fatal crashes, including this one, in the last 17, 18 years. And Tara Airlines had three fatal crashes. So betwixt and between, maybe the EU and the Americans are right to ban these from the airspace. That's not a good track record, in fairness, for a small airline which has 55 or 60% of the business internally in Nepal.
Yeah. Obviously, they're flying in a highly mountainous area. They're also flying where the air is thin. And both of those factors, I mean, trying to achieve lift, for example, for some of the helicopters, very difficult, probably for the fixed-wing aircraft as well, trying to get lift in thin air.
Yes. And indeed, they're landing and taking off, you know, at altitudes which might be cruising altitudes to some aircraft. And some of the lighter aircraft will be close enough to their maximum climb. In other words, they're nearly at their limit of service from that point of view. So they do take an extra bit of training. But you would hope that they would turn to somebody who can help them and stop this. This is carnage, and it doesn't need to be, because I've said time and again that aviation is safe. You can make it safer still by applying the lessons that would be learned from these air accidents. So let's hope there's a full and thorough investigation into this, that we might get to the bottom of it.
Yeah. One of the texters, Cormac, says the port wing stalled, perhaps an engine failure on that wing. Aircraft probably too low for stall recovery, looked slow, the nose high in any case. Is it possible either an engine failure or indeed a flap failure, that the hydraulics to the flap didn't extend the wing to give that required lift as the approach was being made?
It's true. I looked at the video as best I could, and it looks as if the two propellers on both leading edges are actually working. But something like that would be, again, trained for in your simulator training, you know. And I used to know a simulator instructor on ATOs, and they do some of that. You put the rudder in, you protect it so the wing doesn't drop, and you continue flying, and you put the power on, and you go around, Pat, we discussed this. In fact, you've been in aircraft with me. We've gone around from, low altitudes, because it's done as part of the safety training time and time again.
Well, the mystery remains until they explore the black boxes and find if it was a mechanical failure or whether it was pilot error. We shall see. But Kevin, thank you very much for joining us. Kevin Byrne, retired Air Corps Lieutenant Colonel and Airport Safety and Security Auditor.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the Board of Directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.